Let's talk about this church. Let's see how we're doing our communication. What's our community's purpose? This church exists to do basically four things, according to the elders. There are four things this church seeks to do. So if you want to do something beyond these four things, my guess is it's probably fifth on the list. We are here to exalt the Lord. That's it. Number one, we're here to exalt the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts and praise Him according to His excellent greatness. That's what we're here to do. Exalt God above the heavens that His glory may be over all the earth. We're here to worship. Exalt. We're here to empower. Now this is huge. If you haven't figured out yet, this church exists to empower people in the pew for their place of ministry. This is not to be a church centrally focused on one person or one person's ministry. This is a church where everybody is a member of the priesthood of all believers, Isaiah 61. That Luther had it right. It's a priesthood of all believers. You each have a gift, you have a calling, you have a post, you have experiences, you have a testimony, and we're seeking, even through Vanguard, to get you at your post of responsibility. We believe in that strongly. We're here to exalt, we're here to empower, we are here to embrace the hurting. Embrace. It's an action word. We feed them, we hug them, we kiss them, we counsel them, we give them life skills courses, we hold their hand, we pray for them. We're here to embrace the hurting. And there are no shortage of hurting people. Galatians 1 and 2. Carry one another's burdens and in so doing fulfill the law of Christ. We're here to, and I've never seen a church that has this a part of their purpose statement. I've never have. We're here to enjoy the process. We're not here. People come to this church, you're not going to see a bunch of people looking like they've been sucking on a lemon for an hour and a half. This is a place where you laugh and cut up and have fun. You get down to business when you need to, but this should, ought to be enjoyable. The kingdom of God is about righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. We're not here to condemn anybody. We're here to build you up, love you, accept you where you are, tell you the truth. If you don't like it, too bad. But we're going to enjoy it. That's the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You can go other places and not hear it, but you won't be free. We're going to enjoy ourselves. And I would say, parenthetically, we're here to inform and inspire the next generation. For if we don't, who will? Our community dictionary. We have a dictionary. What is a pastor? What is a pastor? What does that mean in this church? It is a person that's going to help feed you, lead you to something that's worth eating, give you food that's nutritious, to protect you, to pray over you, to have you in mind when you pray, to talk to God about you, to talk to you about God. This is a shepherd. This is my role. Do I do a good job at it? Sometimes. Sometimes not. Is the expectation I'm going to do that for everybody? Probably. Is that accurate? No. No. I'm not going to care for every person's needs every moment of every day. Not going to happen. Not at the expense of my family. The dictionary for this church is the pastor's here to pray for me, to serve me, to wash my feet, to serve and get everyone to serve one another, and to mobilize people to help one another's needs be met. I'm not going to be your best friend, not everybody's, nor are you to everyone else. And as the church continues to grow, that's just not going to happen. That's a dictionary definition for community Bible church. It's just not going to happen. How is it that I prepare God's people for works of service using this square area to do so? How do I prepare you for works of service? I can't visit everybody. I can't be everywhere. I can't say what needs to be said. I can't counsel everybody. And that's just common sense. So how do we get one another to do that? The elders. The elders are here to do this very same thing I just described, but they're not always teaching. Sometimes they are. They cannot oversee what they cannot see. Our elders need to be more involved in different areas of ministry and more intentional about caring for the needs of families because they realize that I cannot do that. And I trust you do as well. Our elders need to be our prayer warriors, the spiritual authority to do administrative oversight and at the same time oversee the ministry. And we're getting better at that. The laity. What is the laity in this church? You are the reason the church exists to exalt God. Now, I have a feeling, 5 years into this game, that when I got here, the church basically was semi-adrift. To be honest about it. Certain things needed to be done. And in my opinion, they needed to be done quickly. And the infrastructure and the staff and the ministry team needed to be put into place, and that needed to be communicated. And we didn't have a lot of time to deliberate over that. We could have. We'd be one-third as far down the road as we are now. But now we find ourselves at a place where all of that's been taken care of. Now the time is for more buy-in from the congregation. Some certain triage needed to happen, and it happened. Now we need to communicate more about what's going on in the life of the church, what's going on with the church in a financial sense, in a spiritual sense, what the outreach is all about. And that's going to all happen through Vanguard. We need to communicate more openly with the congregation. And I can imagine how some of you who have been here a really long time were going about your business, doing your thing, and then all of a sudden someone shows up and no one's asking for your input. I can understand how, in a communication sense, you may have felt like someone hijacked your church. And it's true. I did. For the best of intentions. Because certain things needed to be done. Now we need to get all on board again. We did not have time for multiple committees. And it paid off in a lot of ways. But now we need more buy-in. That's where the laity comes in. That's where we need to work better as teams, communicate with one another, care for one another more on a personal level. And everyone's going to be needed in that endeavor. We do have some doctrinal challenges, as I mentioned, and I'm helping to hopefully define the role of the Holy Spirit in life, in Christian life. I'm hoping to define that more clearly for you from a biblical standpoint. I think there's, as we go forward in this country, there's going to be a greater hunger for an understanding and an experience of what the person of the Holy Spirit is to do in our life. And I think everyone's beginning to realize that role of the Holy Spirit in our life is of a paramount importance, because the challenges in which we face in culture and even persecution in the world that we live in, we need to have a greater dependence on the flow of the Holy Spirit in our life in terms of discernment and what we share, how we witness, and all that we do. So we got to, those are just some simple terms to define. Expectations within the community. I think right now the community expects every church to do the same thing. I think this community expects that we're supposed to do more because we're somehow have more greater resources. The standard of a community involvement for a church isn't based on the community. It's based on what the Lord calls us to do. And we have an opportunity to do some things that other churches in this community do not. And we're doing them. And we're having probably more of a regional impact than an immediate local impact. But if everyone focuses just on the local impact, we'd be in trouble, because the churches in this region are hurting bad. People are hurting bad. People are hungry, spiritually, physically. People have no counsel. They have no one to help them. They're lost, aimless, drifting people. Those of you who volunteer on Tuesdays, you meet these people. You know what I'm talking about. They lack direction, understanding, motivation. Some of them just want to crawl in a hole and die. Well, we're helping those people because we feel led of the Lord to do so. Are we neglecting our own community? Heavens no. We're building an infrastructure that's going to help even more. You know that if this is accurate, it's astounding. 1 in 3 children in Macon County don't have anything to eat from Friday afternoon to Monday morning. Expectations. Pitfalls that kill a sense of community. Gossip. Always the gossip. We don't have a big issue with gossip. Rumbling, sometimes we're called. Maybe you've been in communities that have gossip issues. We don't have a big one. There's some gossip here, sure. I hear about it. But soon as your gossip reaches my ears, I dilute its validity by 50% because I got it by way of gossip. Because if you are going to gossip about someone else, and they're going to hear about it, you're saying immediately that you lack the maturity to talk face to face about it. Therefore, what you have to say probably isn't that important. And that's not true. That's true in the church. It's true anywhere. If you're going to get something third hand from somebody, or you have been designated as a spokesman in the community, you are doing people a disservice by being their messenger, boy or girl. It's time to put your big boy pants on and tell them to talk directly. We're back to technology again. Talk directly with one another. Paul talks about this all the time. We form triangles. Why do we like triangles so much? Because we're wimpy. We don't want to hurt anybody. Well, you're hurting people by not talking to them directly. We form triangles. If I want to talk to you, I'm going to talk to her so she can talk to you. Triangle. Does not work. Pitfall. Complaining. There's constructive complaining. That's what we need. Constructive face-to-face complaining. Not the wimpy stuff. Silence. Even worse. Avoiding issues. Not dealing with conflict. We're back to this generation again. We're teaching this generation how not to deal with conflict. Prayerlessness. If you got something to share with somebody, share it. But could you root it and bathe it in prayer so that when it'll be received if it's accurate? Not the flesh. This happens in companies all the time. It happens around water coolers. It happens in school systems. It happens in classrooms. We don't bathe what we do. We speak out of hurt sometimes. We speak out of our own hurt. We've got to talk to one another directly. Huge benefit to that. And unresolved issues. If you have an unresolved issue with another person, remember this. You ever skip a garbage day? You got to go a week? Gets a little gamey, doesn't it? Well, I skipped garbage day the other day. We went out of town, and anyway. So what you got to do is you got to schlep the garbage out to the road there at the house. Gosh, it stinks. I'm wondering, like, how many bears are going to be on this before I even get back to the house? Old unresolved issues that linger for lack of fortitude to meet with someone, to talk with them, it causes issues in communication. It costs you communication in the present because your garbage in the past still stinks. You've got to resolve issues like that. I don't know if any of that going on here, but it's good for a pastor to say that kind of stuff from time to time so people know, like, what's the expectation here? The expectation is to talk to somebody. You got an issue with someone across the church? Talk to them. If you have difficulty talking to them, come talk to me and I'll take you. We'll talk to them together. Let's meet, talk, resolve. That's what we got to do. All right. Does this help at all? Was anybody listening? Does anyone know how I feel about what I said? Did you get the empathy of how passionate I am about actually communicating properly? How many of you think that I communicate well? Wrong. Wrong. Well, you didn't listen too good. Now I got a lot of trouble with communication. I do. People, they perceive me as aloof and disinterested. I've been carrying this thing. A guy came to me the other day, and you know, I've been counseling with him for a while, and he goes, I'm not going to use his language. He said, I used to see you at the basketball games. Man, I thought you were the biggest jerk. And I go, what? He goes, yeah, I thought you were a jerk. I go, well, am I? He goes, no, you're not a jerk. I said, well, why did you think that? I don't know why I thought that. People think I'm a jerk. I guess it's a gift I have. But when you get to know me, I'm not a jerk. I don't know. I don't know about that. Anyway, we've got to communicate face to face.